On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit.
This is Audio Whiplash on the Tall Can Audio Network. On Twitter at Tall Can Audio or at Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to a Canada Day edition of the Audio Whiplash Podcast. My name's Matt Robinson. As always, you can hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at Tall Can Audio, Facebook.com/Tall Can Audio. There's bonus stuff all the time at Patreon.com/Tall Can Audio. And we are excited today to have a guest return to the studio. It's been a little while. Canadian Paralympian and all-around good chick, Amy Burke, is back.
Hi!
What's up?
Happy birthday, Canada! Woo! Oof.
Get off the mic doing that. Burst my eardrums.
You sexy mother, you.
Yeah. What's happening?
Oh, not much.
I thought maybe you were talking to yourself there. Since Amy last was on the show, she has had another child.
That's true. I guess it kind of
sucks
both ways.
Sexy mother.
No, I'll stick with the country.
Yeah, that's fair. What's new?
Well, not much.
You are. And that'll do it, ladies and gentlemen.
Nothing much. That's the end of it. We're done.
This is pretty cool. Starting tomorrow, Amy Burke is in competition in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and this is your first international competition. I know we bickered a little bit about whether Vancouver counted back in February. There were other countries, so technically it was international, but this is the first big, you know, major international competition since you took another year off to have another baby, so we're going to talk a little bit about that. I got a few things we want to ask you about. You mentioned before, and I hope you don't get mad at me for bringing this up, that you're not super sure why there is a demand for you. That we still, despite the fact, I think the last time you co-hosted a show,
the Olympics,
was after the Olympics. The Olympics was like your deal. You were on quite a bit. That was awesome. So that was 2018. But you also came on during the bus crash in Saskatchewan. And talked about that with us back. That was a couple months after the Olympics
in 2018. Yeah.
So before that, it had been quite a while again. But we still, and sometimes I forward them on to you so that you'll get going, right? Come back on. We still get tweets. We still get messages and emails asking, hey, where's Amy? Hey, where's that chick that, you know, that Paralympic chick? Sometimes people don't remember your name. I don't know. We've gotten some. I know we've talked about certain issues before where it's like, this is an issue where you absolutely have to have Amy back on. And I've brought that up to you a couple times and you always kind of shrugged like, I don't think I'm any good at this.
I think you're just being nice.
Well, I'm not. The listeners are.
Well, that's true because you're not very nice.
That's true.
Well, I mean, I definitely appreciate the kind words people say.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
Because, like, people know you're out there. They see you on our Instagram or mentioned on our Twitter. They know you're still around. You're just
I'm not dead yet.
No, of course. So it is Canada Day. Means
happy birthday.
Is always in order.
To you.
I have a Bonfire Black Lager from the Perth Brewing Company going today. What about you?
I have a broadhead blueprint.
Right.
Blueprint. I'm sorry. It's blueprint broadhead.
Yeah. Which I know is a personal favorite of yours.
Yeah, I like the blueberry beer.
We made sure we had it in studio for your return. That was very the only delicious way we got her here.
Yeah, I'm not gonna
argue too
correct
much.
You on
yeah
that.
You're more and more, you know, you have to watch it a little bit because you're constantly training and all this sort of stuff. But you've sort of jumped on the craft thing a little bit, eh?
Well, obviously post baby.
Yeah. Obviously.
But
he's
no
driven her to drinking.
Between them and the dog and the dieted cat. Jeez. No, it's nice. You can try the nice craft beer, and if I don't like it, I hand it off to Tyler, and if I do like it, I keep it.
So try
lately. Yeah. Not lately, but I know it's not craft, but Creemore Springs has been my go-to lately.
Yeah, there's one of those in the fridge you can take home with you. I'm not that big on it.
Oh, it's delicious.
Yeah, it's all right. Look, this is Audio Whiplash. We are talking to an athlete, so it will be somewhat sporty, but we're mainly going to be talking about her career. Before we get into that, though, I did want to talk about something that went on last week at the Women's World Cup. Canada, of course, eliminated by the Swedes. They didn't have a great tournament. Offensively, it didn't look good. They're under a new coaching staff. A lot of people who know soccer better than I do say that, you know, they haven't been impressed with the system that he's been trying to implement. But during the quarter, I think it wasn't the quarterfinal, I think it was just the round of 16 where they got knocked out. Late in the game, Canada's trailing by one, and Christine Sinclair is awarded a penalty shot. Now, you're allowed to give that to, I believe, anyone on the pitch at the time. So she decides to give that to a younger player who is a striker, is going to be around quite a while. Christine Sinclair is wrapping up her illustrious career. She's closing in on some major international records, but she's getting a little bit older. This may have been her last World Cup. And she went to this player,
Becky.
And asked her to take the shot. And immediately there was criticism online, as there always is. People complain a lot on the internet.
And now we will hear.
Yes, for sure. That it was a coaching mistake, but it came out immediately afterwards that this wasn't a coaching mistake, that Christine Sinclair asked her if she would take it. As someone with quite an illustrious international reputation of your own, what are your thoughts there? Because you are, most of the time, the designated shooter on your team, right? Late in the game, we're going to try and get the ball into Amy's hands. And you're the most dangerous. But you have, in the past and now, had young players coming up with good offensive skills that maybe aren't quite there yet. It's been suggested that maybe Christine Sinclair thought this was a good opportunity to give this girl some experience, knowing she's going to be around longer. Maybe she just thought this girl had, you know, a better chance at it. A lot of the rest of us were like, just take it. You're the greatest. You keep it. Do you have any thoughts on it? Like, in that situation, what the balance is between leadership and we have to get this done, and, you know, like.
Well, okay, so I can think of it from, I have two opinions on it.
Sure.
So one, like every other sports fan out there, I'm yelling, take it.
Yeah.
Because not only are you the best offensive player Canada has,
mm-hmm,
you're also.
And has you, ever had.
Has ever, yet. Like, you're closing in on Abby Wombat there.
Yep.
She's just an all-around good player. She's the captain. She's the leader. She's everything. Like,
yeah.
She is Team Canada.
Mm-hmm.
She is Team Canada.
Yeah.
And so take it. But then from what I was seeing is there's a group of them that will practice penalty kicks after a practice or
okay
whatever.
Right.
And Becky being a striker, I'm
right
pretty confident it was Becky that took it.
Yep,
eh?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So Becky being a striker, she is one of the ones that just goes and practices it and practices it and practices it constantly after a practice.
Yeah.
So she's nailing it 10 times, 9 times out of 10, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
You're down 1-0.
Yeah.
Give it to the one that I can totally get it. I can get why she gave it to the one that has been hitting it in practice, has been focusing on it, has been doing this. But then it's just like you're down 1-0 in an elimination game.
Yeah. Well, and it's the unknown, right? For all we know, Christine Sinclair gets stoned. Like, the goalie made an unreal save on Becky. Like, it was tremendous. Maybe that happens to Sinclair, but we don't know that. What we know is that Becky got stopped.
But then if Sinclair takes it, it's stopped. People are like, oh, come on, you're old. You probably should have given it to the younger one that practices it.
I don't know. There absolutely is an audience that would feel that way. But I think part of it also, I've talked to you about sports plenty of times. I'm going down swinging with my best, you know. I'm going to put it in my best player's hands all the time. And I'm going to sink or swim with that. And the comparison that most people drew, and you won't remember this because you were just a youngin', the 1998 Winter Olympics. Canada's in a shootout with the Czech Republic. This is long before...
And Wayne Gretzky gets nailed to the bench?
Yes. This is long before the shootout is a thing in the NHL. Like, we just don't see this. We're not used to it as Canadians. And they put in Ray Bourque, because at the All-Star game that year, he had gone 5-for-5 in that shitty accuracy thing where you shoot the plates out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where there's no goalie and you get to stand still and try and do it. But that was the reasoning behind it. Meanwhile, the greatest goal scorer in NHL history is sitting on the bench. Now, he wasn't what he was earlier in his career, but you go down with Wayne Gretzky, right? You don't leave that guy sitting there. That right now is still, when anyone brings up Mark Crawford's name, who was the coach of that team, that is the first thing that hockey fans remember about that guy. You left Wayne Gretzky on the fucking bench in an Olympic shootout. So it's interesting to me. And the reason I wanted to bring it up to you is because in that case, in the 98 Olympics case, that's a coaching decision. This was a player who could have taken the shot herself. Have you ever felt like there was a moment where you didn't want the ball or where you thought someone else was better suited to take the shot? Or does that athlete killer instinct, almost ego, right, kick in and say, no, that's my opportunity. I'm doing this.
No, I've definitely had the times where... you know, another player is hotter, or they're hitting something better and whatnot. So it shows good leadership on her part that she can recognize that and isn't just gimme.
Has to be me. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I get it, but I mean, it's also, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I would have done in her situation.
Well, and it's easy to criticize now because they lost.
Exactly.
If she scores, then everyone goes, Christine Sinclair is an incredible leader. She knew to give that to somebody else. And
exactly. But I mean, my World Cup watching has ended after.
Of course. Yeah. No, me too.
I could give two shits now what happens.
So the first time you were ever on this show was Audio Whiplash 10. We were like 3 months into TCA even being a thing. You were our first guest on Audio Whiplash, just as Nate Sager was our first guest on Tall Can Sports. And we talked all about your career. That was July of 2015. You were getting ready. You were actually getting ready to have your heart broken. But yes, Toronto 2015. And you had taken the previous season off to start a family. And that's where our pal Lucas, sometimes of...
The podcast, Lucas Show.
Yeah, podcast fame for those who are friends with Amy on Facebook, I guess I'll say.
He wants to come in for the third episode, too, by the way.
Good.
So when I get home.
Okay, send him over. You get out, he'll come in. This is somewhat similar in that you took last season off to have another kid. I want to talk to you a little bit about, first of all, there you go.
There's the blueprint.
Nice. Why don't you... talk
smells
to
very
us
blueberry.
A little bit about Ryan Bourque.
Oh, it sounds weird when you put his last name to it.
You've never said his last name?
No,
to
I haven't.
He's just Ryan.
I may have once or twice, but it's just kind of like, yeah. Like, it's like when I say Amy Bourque. Doesn't sound right.
That's why I still call you Amy Nebo. Sub-Nebo.
Tell you about him?
Yeah.
He's cute.
Yeah.
He's loud. So he fits right in with me. And Lucas, actually, Lucas is very loud.
Yeah.
Tyler's the quiet one in the house. Nah, he's a good sleeper. He's a good lad. He's just
good. How old is he now?
9.5 months.
Could you compare for us your return this time, right? Like when you came back from, you know, having Lucas, to start your career again and the training and everything that went into it. How did you find it different or, you know, this time after a second one? Was it, did you know more what to expect or
it was definitely easier because I knew more, you know, after Lucas, it was the whole, the unknown. No one really knows how this is going to work. But then after the second one, you're kind of like, well, is the body going to be even worse because it's more trauma? Because you don't necessarily always heal yeah. fully after the first. So
right.
it's more trauma added to it. Older. Not that I'm that old. Don't even dare say
it. I was just going to say it.
Don't even say it.
Amy has a scary birthday coming up soon.
It's not happening. Okay. I tell Lucas I'm 26. I'm turning 26
forever.
Next year.
Yeah.
but no, it was just kind of went into it smarter. I was anxious last time with Lucas, especially since he was born in July. But Ryan being born in September, it was more of a, you know, the season is actually starting now.
Yeah.
So I have to be more smart about it.
What about like your first couple days back at the gym or like, obviously it was going to be tough. Your body had been through a lot.
You know what? It felt easier. And I think it was because I did more while pregnant with Ryan.
Right.
I didn't have the job like I did with Lucas. So I'd come home from work and be exhausted. So not really work out or do anything.
During the pregnancy, she's talking about not while competing.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I mean, I didn't specify.
Sure. Yeah, no, it's true. Yeah.
And Ryan was also born earlier.
Right.
I didn't have the agony of an extra week long. He was a week and a half early.
Yeah.
So, he was a big dude though. So I guess it doesn't matter. but yeah, no, it was just, I think went into it with more knowledge. Smarter about it, went in slowly because I actually did have to slow down with Lucas after Lucas.
Mm-hmm.
I think we did a good job with it. And there was nothing really on the horizon last season like there was after Lucas,
Toronto,
right? So,
yeah.
You know, it's less, it was more of it was 9 months, 9.5 months. After Ryan was born, my first international. I guess Lucas was the same. July until May. So actually, yeah. So I guess that factor doesn't actually matter.
Well, but as you've sort of suggested, coming out of Lucas, you have no idea what to suggest. Now you've kind of been through this a little bit. Was it what you expected or better than you expected coming out of this one? Just having that knowledge already.
I think it was better than I expected. But it was kind of also, I had this little chip on my shoulder that I wanted to, I wanted to come back fitter, stronger than, I mean, obviously I wanted that last time, but it's more of a 2-kid now and I can still compete.
Yeah.
So it was more of that. It was more of an ego thing maybe.
Just to show you could still do it.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I can do the mom thing.
Well, so let's get right into that.
And I can do the athlete thing.
Yeah. Because now... You know, you're right back into it. You have, you know, Lucas is now in school, just finishing up this week.
I know, he's done.
And you have, I guess not a newborn anymore, but an infant or, you know, I don't know how long until you stop classifying them. You have a baby. So you are full-time mom to two boys, one of which still needs constant attention because he's a baby and the other because he's getting to the age where they're crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, as husband, obviously working full time, the first question was sort of about your return to action being harder. Has the maintaining your schedule and stuff been harder than you expected now having two of them?
No, because Lucas being in school helped.
Yeah, true.
See,
yeah.
So it's kind of like I planned that nicely.
Right.
And then the other one is just I have to figure out, you know, the poor Ryan there, he gets screwed sometimes because it's. Well, I like to go to the gym in the morning.
Yeah.
Or trainer sessions are in the morning.
Yep.
So poor guy might have to, you know, not have a nap for an extra hour or something. And then he's a cranky little bugger.
Oh,
and
I'd be cranky too if people were canceling my nap.
Well, he kind of falls asleep at the gym, but
me too.
It's not the same.
Right.
So, I mean, there is that, but it's nice that with how Ty's schedules works, some weeks Ryan goes more than others and
yeah.
if Tyler's starting a little later, I'll get up at 5 and go to the gym then so that I'm not interrupting nap time and home to help get ready for school and
right.
all this other shenanigans.
You know what? I wanted to talk to you a little bit about sort of how this season went in terms of competition. You referenced that when you add Lucas, it was in July. And the season really doesn't start until sort of October, November. There's some camps and practices, but you're not competing again until January. This time, you had Ryan in September, so shortened your recovery window quite a bit if you were going to be able to, you know, be back on schedule. I guess your first competition was in January, a provincial tournament. How'd you feel? Do you remember where were you sort of where you wanted to be, you know, obviously not at your best, but in terms of, you know, relatively speaking, do you remember how that one went for you and just how you felt?
Mentally?
Yeah.
I was like a wreck. I remember being our very first game against Nova Scotia. I remember being as nervous as you would be in like a Paralympic semifinal, quarterfinal, because yeah. I've never made it to a semifinal.
Okay.
And,
Yet.
It's coming. So, yeah, I remember being so nervous and hoping that no one threw the ball at me because.
No one ever does.
Yeah, well, that's true. Also true. But, yeah, I remember being so nervous. And then literally after 30 seconds, I think I was fine. Physically, I felt good. I felt like I could handle the tournament. I felt like, you know, not actually being in a game kind of makes you unsure of how you'd feel conditionally. But I felt like my conditioning was good leading up to it, and it ended up being actually great.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember being too tired, actually, that tournament.
Right.
So I think I ended up being better than what I expected. But it was literally, it was the unknown. It was, I don't know how this is going to go. I hope it goes well.
Right.
Ego-wise, I really hope this goes well.
Sure. So that's January. Throughout the rest of the year, you have a couple other, you know, provincial tournaments leading up to now. You're out to Vancouver with Team Canada at one point to take on, you know, a small international tournament there. When did you, or maybe you haven't, when in that process do you feel like, okay, I'm back, like this is where I expect to be, this is now I feel right, and you know, I'm now doing what I expect of myself? Because it has to be frustrating early on to know exactly what to do but not quite be there, not be able to quite reach it.
You know what, I haven't had that feeling yet.
Really?
Yeah. I've had,
as someone who's watched a little bit, you should be getting pretty close to that
feeling. Well, I mean, I've had several practices where I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel like it's there. Now I need to see if I can do it during a game. So, like, Vancouver was, you know, a little iffy at times.
Mm-hmm.
Just with not hitting the hole that's expected or...
just for some of our listeners who aren't totally, you know, aware of the sport, you mean shooting,
yeah,
right?
And
shooting, it's sort of like a quarterback who's just missing his receivers,
exactly,
right?
Yeah. So in Vancouver, I kind of felt like that. Our national championships in May.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually feeling pretty darn good there despite concussion the week before.
Yes.
Like rolling into Saturday, it was just seeming like it was all starting to connect. Some really nice throwing, some this. And then just since then, I feel like practices have been really good.
Mm-hmm.
On the accuracy front, on the speed of the ball, the chunk of the ball, just even defending.
Right.
So, I'm really expecting, and I'm hoping that in Fort Wayne here, it's going to click the first game.
So, talk to us about Fort Wayne. What type? It's an international competition. What's on the line? What are you expecting the competition to be like? You know, tell us a little about the event that you're kicking off tomorrow.
All right. Well, it's the IBSA Goalball International Paralympic Qualifier.
Okay.
I may have said that slightly wrong.
It's okay. It's got like 17 titles based on how it's been translated out of different languages.
but it's basically our first of second tournament this summer for our chance to qualify for Tokyo 2020. Obviously next year in 2020.
Yeah. The Tokyo Paralympic Games.
Yeah. We have to finish top two, which I totally think our team can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not going to be an easy tournament. Because we have, you know, we have the Americans, the Ukrainians, the Aussies, Ukrainians. I don't know what they're called.
Yeah.
The Aussies.
Yeah.
They're coming up and having more defensive games against us. So, China. Forgot about China. China's there too.
Oh, there's some good.
Yeah. No, it's going to be
European
a good
clubs. Like really, everyone.
Israel. Israel's
the Israelis.
Here.
Yeah. Have. I guess who. Who's not there? It's teams that qualified out of Worlds, correct?
Yes,
World Championships were last year.
Brazil, Russia.
Russia, Turkey.
Turkey's not there. Japan, because they're the host.
Okay, so they don't, for people who don't quite understand, in most Olympic and Paralympic sports, if you're hosting, you don't have to qualify. You get an automatic berth. So those are the four kind of really good teams that won't be there. But the rest of the world's top teams will be there looking for a spot
exactly,
in 2020.
And they're only taking the top two.
Right.
So
you have to make the gold medal game to qualify.
Exactly. Yeah, which I have full confidence in our team.
Yeah.
I mean, people just need to want
deep,
it.
110%.
Exactly. They need to want it.
Yeah.
And just have to go get it.
Are you you mentioned playing that first game, just a domestic game, Ontario versus Nova Scotia? That first game in Montreal after pregnancy. Are you nervous for this tournament?
No.
No.
No. I mean, I have the initial, you know, your normal nerves.
Sure.
But it's nothing more. Maybe come tomorrow at our first game against Finland.
Mm-hmm.
I might be different. but no, right now it's okay.
It's more of an excitement than a nervousness.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. Like, I feel like this past 9 months have creeped up on us. But I'm excited to get going. I'm excited for it to be done.
Yeah. Really?
Well, in an extent. I mean, I am in the States. You never know what Trump's up to.
Okay. It's true. You're going to spend your first July 4th south of the border. Oh,
yeah.
It's probably not your first act. Yeah, it would be. In 06, I was down there with you. We did Canada Day.
We left on July 2nd.
Yeah,
so yeah.
We did do Canada Day down there.
Yeah.
I remember, because you and I barely knew each other at the time, but I remember saying to you and...
I flirted with my husband for the first time that weekend.
Oh.
And it's been love ever since.
for
me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. We'll get him in while you're away and let him tell his side of the story. But I remember saying to you and... I think Annie, who was, I think, one of the coaches at the time.
Yeah.
Because it was Canada Day, and your future husband and I had gone out and bought fireworks and brought them over to the residence where you were staying. And we took them out into the parking lot area. And I can remember saying to you and Annie and one or two other people, I said, nothing like celebrating the birthday of our country, like, or by blowing up a small part of somebody else's.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing about that, too, is for Worlds that year, the gold medal game was on Canada Day. So not only did we win in USA, we won gold on Canada Day in USA.
And I remember...
In the USA.
Yeah. Going up to... Like I said, because Tyler was down there as well. He and I, you and him were not dating yet, as you suggested.
But
I have been buddies for a long time, so we flew down to watch the tournament. And we walked up to this fireworks stand and walked away with this huge thing of explosives, essentially. And I remember him saying to me, is it weird that, like, they just sold a couple of foreigners without anything of fun? You know.
They probably didn't know.
No, I'm sure. But everything was red, white, and blue sparklers, and we're just pitching the blue ones to the side, right? And lighting the red and white stuff. And it was a nice way to celebrate Canada Day. And I remember the security.
I was completely sober.
Yeah, of course.
Being 16, nobody wanted to give me anything.
Yeah. The security car for the university that you guys were staying at driving by and him asking what's happening. Like, it's not July 4th yet. I said, well, it's Canada Day and we're all. And he's like, just be safe and drove off. Right? Like, he's a good dude. And that was in Spartanburg, South Carolina. So you know,
they job, y'all.
They don't love Canada down there. We're a little too liberal or whatever. But this guy was pretty cool. So that was kind of neat. This will be your first July 4th. Will you be playing on Independence Day?
Oh, we will be.
Against the Yanks?
No, we play them July 3rd.
Yes.
If I remember, I want to say it's Denmark.
Oh, big Canada, Denmark.
The big Danes.
Yeah. The Great Danes.
The Great Danes. The, yeah. Danes.
Dangs.
The Dangs.
What do you, you know, you've said you're optimistic. You believe your team can get this done and qualify for Tokyo. What do you specifically feel like you know, it's well established here on this show over the years that you're a leader. You're, if not, you know, well, you know what? No, screw it. We're just going to say it. You're Canada's top player. What do you have to have happen for you to have a good week?
You know, well, okay, so my last, if you ignore Vancouver, which was just us, Israel, and USA.
Yeah.
My last.
And BC.
And BC, yes. I meant international.
Yeah, I know.
No.
They're just filling out a spot on the schedule.
Poorly. My last tournament before that was the Pan Ams, Para Pan Ams in Brazil.
So that's 2017. Right.
It was November 2017. For winning that tournament was qualifying us for Worlds. And I had already had it decided with Tyler and the coaching staff that no matter how that tournament finished, I wasn't going to Worlds.
Right.
And that was probably one of the best international tournaments I think I ever had.
I think so too.
I don't know if it's because I knew I wasn't going to Worlds.
Empty the tank right here.
But I mean, I think it was 21 or 27 goals. So I had gotten the most goals I've ever gotten at an international tournament. And that was against teams like, well, that was against Brazil and USA.
Yeah.
And I mean, you throw in Mexico and I'm sorry, I can't remember who else was there. But
Guam.
Yeah, I honestly can't remember. I want to say El Salvador, but I know they weren't. But
Colombia.
But I remember getting 10 Argentina. Goals against the Americans. Maybe it was 10 goals against Brazil, actually. Might have only been 6 goals against the Americans.
Not in one game.
10 over 2 games against Brazil and 6 in the first game against the Americans.
Okay.
Possibly. I think we won 6-2. Yeah, I can't remember.
And you were playing out a position in that tournament.
Yes. Yeah. So, and yeah, playing left wing that I don't. I don't normally play.
Right.
You know, being told predominantly you'll be this wing, and then in practice we'll do a little bit of left, and then, yeah, we'll keep you there all week.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I feel like that was one of my best offensive tournaments that I've ever had. And I basically want to start this tournament off how that one ended.
Right.
So there's no year and a half in between. No baby, no nothing. Just that's where I ended. And I want.
Sorry, Ryan.
No, I mean, I love him. He's a cute little fella. But I want to pick up where I left off.
Right.
So, and I mean, I'm not. Obviously, I like scoring and whatnot. But I mean, if other people want to do it too, or other. I mean, I know. Oh, that sounds so bad.
No, it's good.
No, I but I meant
I don't
like,
mind if other people
you know, if you
want
like to chip in once in a while, but yeah. No, I meant like just, you know, we have other people on this team that can score and I know that will score. So it's just there's no I think it kind of relieves the pressure on me. But yeah, no, I want to continue from where I left off in Brazil.
Right.
Where you don't know if you didn't know you wouldn't know that I was off having a baby.
What has your sort of approach been coming back this time? Tokyo is now just over a year away. You have two opportunities to qualify. As you've mentioned, this one in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And then the second one is in Lima, Peru.
Woo, Lima.
Yeah. It's funny. I told you before you got here that I was listening back to some of the last episodes that you were on. And you mentioned that Lima, Peru might be a nice place to visit, and here we are a couple of years later, and it does not look like a nice place to visit. You have
scary place to visit, yeah. I think.
You have two opportunities here to qualify for Tokyo. Does this one feel like it has more urgency? Like, are you, as we've said, you have a scary birthday coming up that I'm not allowed to mention, but it starts with a 3. and
26.
At some point, yes.
That does not start with a 3, no. It starts with a 2.
You know, that's sort of the beginning of the decline, right, in terms of an athlete's prime. Doesn't mean they immediately turn to shit, but it means it gets harder.
You have to work harder for it.
Yeah, and I have to assume the idea of retirement is at least in your head a little bit. It might not be front of mind. It might not be, I know for sure at this date I'm shutting it down. But it starts to get closer. You haven't yet gotten what you want, a Paralympic medal. Does this quadrennial ending in Tokyo feel more urgent than the last couple?
Qualifying in Fort Wayne doesn't feel urgent, but it's one of the, I want to get it done here because no one wants to wait for the last second to do it.
Yeah.
I would like to know leaving here that we have our ticket booked for Tokyo. And not have to, I mean, obviously no matter what, we're going to put hard work in during the summer for Lima because you want to put on a good show no matter what. And you mm-hmm. want to, you want to win.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to get it done here.
But just in general, even Tokyo, like, does this feel like, I mean, obviously you have to qualify first, right? But does it feel like, do you let it cross your mind that I'm frankly running out of chances?
Yeah. Like, I do know that if I do continue after Tokyo, it would be for one more quadrennial.
Right.
But yeah, it's just, it's the...
Where are we going after Tokyo?
Paris.
Paris.
No, Paris.
That's kind of neat. Yeah.
Tyler okay. won't bring me. I got to get there somehow.
Okay. Yeah. Why go to Paris when Gatineau's right across the river?
Ah, they're so much nicer in Paris.
For sure.
So romantic. Possibly. Yeah. I don't know. Better croissants. Pepe Le Pew. but no, it's just, it's the, you know, yeah, maybe there is a bit of more urgent. Well, because it's kind of, I don't know how I'm going to be after I turn 26. You know, I will.
It's 30. Allow yourself to say
I
it.
Will
it's
be 30 yes. in for in not Fort Wayne. No. My Jesus.
In about 10 months.
In Tokyo.
9 months. Yes.
And that does frighten me a little bit.
Right.
Because, yeah, you are right that, you know, things do start to decline. Mm-hmm. And I definitely feel like at least Brazil last year, I was definitely, I think, at my best I've ever been.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that that picks back up this week.
Right.
But yeah, as you get older, you obviously you slow down, you do this and that and blah, 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 blah. I don't want to be the 40-year-old still trying to gut it out.
Right.
So there is a bit of urgency, but I haven't fully, I mean, obviously there's no decisions made whatsoever. It is in the back of my mind that after Tokyo may be my last. Hell, I thought maybe after London.
Right.
Might have been my last. And that was almost 8 years ago.
Yep.
So.
What about on the family front? We got more kids coming?
No, we don't have. Well, you know what?
You never say never.
Tyler says no.
Okay.
You know, maybe in 3 years, I'll, 2 years, three, I don't know. Maybe in a few years.
Right.
Well.
Because you pick weird times to have your kids.
Well, you have to when you're competing. You
no.
have to.
A lot of people take that first year after the Olympics to do it. You always take the second one. It's kind of strange.
Yeah, well, I have to try to qualify to something.
Yeah.
But, sure. But yeah, no, I probably will be. I mean, I'm terrified to ever have a girl.
Why?
Because I don't know how I'd interact with them. And now
like
that
a mom, probably. Yeah,
no, but girls can be bitchy.
Oh, is that ever true?
So I had 2 boys. I might just keep it like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're both pretty cool. Yeah. I have no complaints.
Right.
So, no, I definitely, no, I, yeah, yeah. We probably won't have any more kids. We might be done on that front. So right. It's kind of, and I mean, as Ryan gets older, it'll be easier maybe to train more. Not that I'm not training now.
No.
So, I mean, you know, once he gets in school too, but then I'm also planning on going back to school. So it just right. becomes this whole balancing act, essentially.
What is your, you've sort of watched over the last couple of years as we've sort of seen the Me Too movement come out on the business front, right, in terms of how many women have come out and vocalized the shit that they've been through or that men have put them through. At the same time, we're seeing a tremendous rise in women's sport and how vocal and demanding they're being for equal treatment and these sorts of things. Do you ever give any thought to the fact that you're kind of doing this in this time where maybe the world needs positive female role models? You're also doing it on a front where it's almost worse, right? It's worse in terms of how women get treated in the sense that when they have disabilities, right, they don't have the same sporting opportunities. Do you ever carry that sort of responsibility? You ever think at all about, you know, I hope that someone is noticing this. I hope, you know, this can be positive for somebody. Or it's okay, I think, to say as an athlete, no, I'm just out there trying to beat people's ass, right?
Well, like, and that's essentially all it is.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think about that. It's more it's just a tremendous support system at home with the husband, the in-laws. Mm-hmm. My own mom travels up from PEI to watch the boys while I'm gone.
Right.
And it's more for them. Like, I want them to see that I can go and do it and do what I want and try and accomplish my dreams. And I don't really care about anyone else, to be honest. Like, I know they have, there's been a lot of, you know, women in sport and it is good that they're emphasizing the fact that you can do both.
Yeah.
And I am doing both, but I couldn't do both if it wasn't for the people back at home. So, yes, maybe in a little sense.
I think, yeah, it sounds like you're happy if people are drawing inspiration from it, but it's not your goal. It's not what you're out there to do.
No, and I mean, you know, I can't even say growing up I even felt like I can't do something because I'm a girl.
Right.
But I'm sure there are girls out there
that do
think that, right? And even right now in this day, there are little kids out there being like, well, I don't know if I can do that. So if I can be an inspiration,
right,
or a good role model or whatever, then, I mean, by all means, I'm happy to do it. And I don't know. I guess it goes to just, it's like that chip on my shoulder that I said earlier, that I like to prove that I can do both.
Right.
I'm not expecting people to make it easy for me to do both.
Well, but we've both seen, as you've said, I get it, like, it's no different. Like, you and I are both huge hockey fans, right? And all the days that those guys spend on the road, if you want to have a family, you have left that completely up to your wife, right? She's got to stay at home. She's got to get them ready for school because you're flying off to Denver or Anaheim or wherever the fuck tomorrow. It's not that different, right? In this case, other than the societal view of it, right? A stay-at-home mom is far more common than a stay-at-home dad. And Tyler is by no means a stay-at-home dad. He works full-time and he whatever. But we've seen women who don't get that support, right? And it makes it much harder to chase your dreams. Whereas you can kind of, you know, obviously it's hard. Obviously you miss some things. I think even at this tournament that you're about to start, you're not getting home until about halfway through Lucas's birthday.
I will be in bed when Lucas gets, or yeah, sorry. Lucas will be in bed when I get
So you're
going to
miss his birthday.
I will miss his fifth birthday, yeah.
And that's hard, right? But you do get to do it, as you've said, knowing, well, dad's at home, right? He's going to make sure this is...
Well, and, you know, we're trying to sit down and find a time where we can go on a family trip with just the four of us.
Yeah.
And we can't really do that because all of Tyler's vacation days are
dedicated
to me leaving.
Yeah.
So I think we sat down this summer and like we sat down and looked at the schedule for this summer. And there might be 2 days that I am actually in town where Tyler is off.
Yeah. Because he has to be off when you're gone.
Yeah. And,
not like, every woman gets that.
No, no. And I mean, I'm so fortunate that, you know, he doesn't complain.
Right.
maybe by the end of August, loudly, he will be complaining. But I mean, I try to make things easier at home for when he gets home from work. And because trust me, I'm not your typical stay at home, come home, supper's on the table kind of wife. I mean, I do have the chicken defrosting right now.
Sure.
But no, I mean, it's because of him being willing to take the time,
yeah,
his
it's
vacation
hard, eh?
days.
Because female empowerment in your in a family, and this is such a cynical way to word it, but I'm going to do it anyway, requires a male assistant. In this case, right? It's I'm not by any means saying you can't go be a top-end goalball player without a man's help. But once you enter into a relationship, a marriage like that, it just doesn't work unless he's willing to say, yeah, I'm good. You should go and do that.
Well,
I want you to have this.
And that's the thing, right? Is I know between Tyler and, I mean, my mom has been traveling by train to come up from PEI. So that's 27 hours-ish by the time she leaves the island.
Right.
Because she's too chicken to fly. And with his parents, I mean, it definitely helps a ton. But I know if I tell Tyler I am out of the country or even the city from these dates,
mm-hmm.
we will try and make it work. Like, we will do, like, he ended up working through the year. It was, I think he worked like 8-9 days straight without, you know, switching his days around so that he wasn't taking a day off while I was gone because he knew he needed to be home. So, I mean, his schedule can get crazy at times where he's already working 7 straight.
Yeah.
And it's exhausting because it's not just, you know, a 9-to-5 kind of thing. It's kind of shift work.
Yeah.
And he was still willing to work that extra day or two because I wasn't home kind of thing. Or wait, because I am home so yes. that he could take the day off
when you're not
when I'm not home. And I mean, it's nice that his work is helping with that. And yeah, like it's nice to know that if I tell him I'm gone now, it's not just a straight up, well, you can't go because I have to work.
Right. Does it put, and you're painting Tyler rightfully so, in a very positive picture, has it put, you know, we don't have to get into anything specific, but does that put strain on a relationship, on a marriage like that to...
I don't think so. No. Like, not ours anyway. I mean, the hardest thing is it just, I mean, you think about it, he's exhausted at one point in time and then you just have to get through it, right?
Yeah.
Knowing that the day off is coming or whatnot. But I think the biggest thing is we have very little days together.
Right.
So
that's what I mean, right?
Yeah,
you start to just feel like, man, we haven't had just a chance to just talk or just whatever, right?
Yeah.
Date night or whatever.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we both go to bed early because I know my day starting at 5 with Ryan.
Yeah.
His day starting at 5 because he has to get ready for work.
Yeah.
So there are some times I see him for maybe 20 minutes in the morning at 6 a.m. We're
right.
kind of having a coffee while he's running out the door.
Right.
But no, I think just because he's so supportive of what I want and he doesn't want to be the reason on why I can't go and get what I want.
Right.
Or at least try and go and get what I want.
Yeah.
So, no, I think our marriage is good. I mean, I'll let you know if I get divorce paper sometime soon. But
we'll do a divorce pod. That'll be all time awesome. Yeah. No, I didn't mean that by any means. But yeah, it, you know, for people who don't follow sport, there's two sides to everything, right? If one person's going to be gone for, you know, what's this one? This one's 2 weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, 13
Someone
days.
Has to so
just under.
Pick that up if you're going to have a family as well, right?
And well, and I mean, I gotta give the guy more credit than what I do because there's times where we're going out to his parents and I'm like, do you have this? Do you have that? Do you have this? And he's like, I know what I'm doing.
Yes.
So, I mean, I'm never concerned when I leave. But I mean, it's also, there are times where, you know, July is a hard time for him to get off. So my mom is here.
Yeah.
Or,
well, and again, like you've referenced, mom's taking the train up. It's 20 some odd hours. It's whatever. She doesn't really get to see you.
Exactly.
You're
yeah.
up and gone. She's not coming to visit her daughter.
Well, I get her to come in a day or two early.
No, I hear you.
But yeah, no, it's a.
You know, you're coming up to work. Like.
Yeah, well, and then it's like it's Ty's mom. Like he works every second weekend and there's nothing we can do about that. And I practice every weekend.
Right.
So there's the, you know, his mom takes both kids every second weekend for us so that I can practice. And,
right.
And so, I mean, it's just, like I said, I mean, it definitely could not get done if I didn't the have the support system. At
hashtag home, Team Amy.
Hashtag Team Amy, yeah. but yeah, no, it's, you know, I'm definitely fortunate to yeah. have what I have.
So you kick off competition on the 2nd against Finland. You got games against the United States, Greece, Ukraine.
Denmark.
Before playoffs.
That's correct.
We will attempt to keep everyone up to date on your progress because people do ask around here.
Thanks, guys.
Where can they find out for themselves. Do you still use your Twitter at all?
Not really. Not really, no.
No. Okay.
You know, our biggest thing is I'm usually in charge of updating our Canadian Women Goalball page on Facebook.
Right.
So if people do want to follow that.
Canadian Women's Goalball on Facebook. It's also Canadian Women's Goalball on Instagram, I believe.
It is on Twitter too, but I may have forgot the password to that. But I think I have it set up that our Facebook posts go to Twitter.
Okay.
Don't necessarily know.
Right.
But yeah, that's also it on Instagram. And I do tend to share things from my own account from Canadian Women's Goalball, but sometimes you kind of just get all caught up in whatever and you forget to update the social media. So a lot of our stuff will be all of our stuff will be posted on Canadian Women's Goalball. It's just whether or not I share it on my own personal account or not.
Right.
Is a different story. But I mean, by all means, we like the love and people want to come like us.
We'll share those on our stuff at Tall Can Audio on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Kind.
I know. As long as she, you know, kind of keeps us posted, we'll update how things are going as well now and then on our pages. Amy, I've been on you for a while to come back, and you told me to go away and leave you alone.
I did do that.
Yeah, and eventually I stopped listening and said, no, I need you to come back. You came back on. This was pretty good. I hope you're not going to make us wait another like 15 months before you come back. Now, you've talked. You're a busy mom.
Well, I mean,
an athlete.
It's like the Lucas show.
Wife.
He's going to be 10 by the time his 10 episodes are done.
We know you can't come in weekly. We hope we're going to see you a little more often on here. I keep sending you the messages and stuff that we get here. I don't send you all of them, but we hear a lot. I would have liked to hear Amy talk about this, or when's Amy coming back, or what happened to that Paralympic girl, or whatever.
What happened to that blind one that you keep talking about?
Tall Can Audio listeners, like I said, you've been around since Audio Whiplash 10, and sometimes more often than others. So you're a part of this TCA thing.
What number is this one, do you know?
This will be about 160.
That's pretty freaking sweet.
So we hope you'll come back a little sooner this time.
I'll try my darndest. I mean, you'll have to talk to my media guy.
Yeah, that's me.
My other media guy. My relation. My people. Okay. My people will be in touch with your people.
Frankly, TCA holes. We just can't afford her rate to come over here all that often.
It's true.
Amy kicks things off on July 2nd. As I said, Team Canada, you can follow them. Canadian Women's Goalball on all your social media feeds. Amy Burke, appreciate this.
Thanks.
This was a lot of fun.
You're welcome, I mean. Thanks.
Let's get the hell out of here. That's Audio Whiplash.
Happy Canada Day, everybody!
I am unhappy with the confusing and at times confrontational nature of that meeting. I wanted it to go better. I wanted it to go better!
Thanks for listening. You can get more TCA at tallcanaudio.com or by searching Tall Can Audio on your favorite podcast app. When you say Tall Can Audio a lot, it starts to sound weird.